So welcome everybody to the next interview in the Top Floor series, Stressing Values. That is my series of talking to leaders of responsible businesses about how they use values to drive their business and how they use values to manage their own stress. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Bernie. Bernie, thank you very much for joining the Top Floor podcast series.
Thank you for having me, Colin.
Oh, it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure. Not many people will, certainly outside of northwest of England, will know of your group. So perhaps you could introduce yourself, tell us a bit more about you and a bit more about the care group that you run.
Well, about me first, then I spent a number of years, 23 years working for British Petroleum, and 11 of which was in different countries. Going around and solving the problems that they have. In that process, my children were growing up, so I needed to give them a stable environment. So I returned back to UK in 2004, and then in 2007, I decided I was going to go into my own business. And that business, after a couple of years of research, it was all going to be care home business.
How extraordinary. Why that? That was such a massive transformation.
Yes. What made you? Yes, and that transformation was anticipated. So my part of the learning was going to be how care home is managed or run rather than managing people. The vision was driven like a 25-year vision. If you look at in 1945, the Second World War finished, the baby boom in this country started.
Yes.
They only turn 80 next year, the first of the baby boomers.
Oh, my word, yes.
And the average age of a resident in a care home is 83. Right, so 2028 will be a year of massive change in supply and demand.
Wow, that's very very visionary of you to see all that growing. Fantastic. But nevertheless, from oil executive to care home, the skill sets required, the challenges are so different. What drew you? How did you get into this?
So the very first business that I bought a very good run business and a good long standing manager. And I ended up learning from her for a whole year about how to run a care home.
Right.
Only after that, I started growing in small numbers and then accelerated since 2015. So it's only the real acceleration came in the last 8 years.
Yes. Yes. And from your first answer, you're saying that there's going to be further growth in the next 5 years.
That's correct. In 2028, 4 years onwards, it'll see a completely different supply and demand situation.
So where do you see We Care Homes in a group in 5 years' time?
Okay. By turnover, we are now the 17th largest care home company.
Wow.
in England. We have an ambitious plan of doubling our business in the next 5 years.
Doubling in 5 years.
Yeah, so that would probably put us in one of the top 10s.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I love the ambition. I really, really do love that. And I think it's absolutely incredibly vital service that you're going to be providing. And the COVID crisis just put a really intense spotlight on how necessary care homes are to the whole fabric of our society. So well done and fantastic ambition to do that. But in what is actually a very stressful and challenging industry, I mean, how do you see the challenges and how do you think you'll overcome them over these 5 years in order to grow?
The biggest challenge that I see is retention of our employees or our staff. So that is to me the biggest challenge. Of course, we are all under pressure through several the margins in terms of pricing by the government and so on. But those are things that we have to deal with, right, as they come. But the biggest challenge is retention of your staff.
this is a theme that's coming through in almost all my interviews, is getting, finding staff and retaining them. So how do you think you'll overcome that challenge?
Okay, so we have 3% vacancy rates against the industry of 9.6%. So we do well in recruiting people, and only reason is because we are a real living wage employer, right? And we operate in the Northwest and the North. So we are obviously having the superior position in terms of our rate of pay,
right? Yes.
To attract the right people. But that 3% continues to be another 3%, which means the retention is not working.
That's right. There's still a gap. Yes.
Yeah. So the retention is not working. So we have decided that we will have a single recruiter for the whole company. Right. So because we are dealing with 34 different managers recruiting staff, they all will be varying in different degrees.
Oh, right? Of course.
Different degrees, expectations, and so on. So if you want to have a common recruitment platform and common way of recruiting, you've got to have the one person interviewing these people.
Yes.
Whether that be one or two, we will try with one first.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So we can get the recruitment right.
I think, well, that's obviously going to be critical.
In terms of retention, we are also going to give 4% of the salary as a retention bonus every quarter.
Interesting. So they get a bonus if they're still with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. And you also focus quite intensely on some very important core values. How do they help you, do you think, keep your staff?
Okay. So we have three values and very simple ones. The first one being family. What does that mean is we are one big family. Right? We must be prepared to help each other. Right? If one of us is in trouble, the other one must help.
Yes. Okay?
The second being honesty. Right. So in whatever words that we use, we will always be honest to our staff. Right? We will not use diplomatic languages to cover our failures or successes.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So we will be direct in our approach. The third being respect. And the respect means everyone has a job to do. There are no superiors in this company. Right? So even as a CEO of this company, I have a job to do. No one should be afraid of me. Right? They should be able to come and ask me anything they want to ask.
Yes, because they're doing a job that they're doing a completely different job to the one that you're doing, and but it's very important. It's equally important.
And they are doing the most difficult job.
Yes. Yeah, harder than yours, do you think?
That's correct.
So that the value of family, you know, supporting everybody, how can you give us an example of how that's worked?
So we have a it's not a policy as such. Anyone who wants to borrow money, they can always borrow money. We don't charge interest. They can pay it back within 6 months.
Okay.
So in this sort of difficult times of cost of living going up, people will struggle. So we should be able to help them in some way. So that's just one. We have a email address called Ask Bernie.
Okay.
So anyone can write to me and ask anything they want. My telephone number is there on every complaints handling policies. So they can call my number anytime they want.
Right. And how many emails do you get, Bernie, on that?
I don't get that many emails at all.
Okay. Well, that's a relief.
Not that I can't handle.
No, none that you can't handle. That's very good. So, and then the honesty one, because that must be quite challenging occasionally. I mean, It's not a secret that obviously some of your homes have had to go into special measures in the last year or so. How did you handle that? And how did your values help you navigate?
So the two homes that have gone in the opposite way to where we normally want to be. They were both bought in 2022. So still there is a lot of work in terms of changing the culture, right? Changing the culture of the people. They should be performing at a level that we want. But generally speaking, if you look at our requires improvement homes, they're all bought either at that level or at inadequate levels.
So that's the status that they were at when you purchased them.
Either that or worse. And most of them will go green, but we can't ask CQC to come. They will only come when they want to come.
That's right. It's not your choice of timing, is it? It's theirs. So but I take it when you buy a home like this, you inherit the same staff team.
That's correct.
And so how do you then work with that completely new group of people to get to the standard that you aspire to?
Okay, so I think we have the culture change. We see it probably in year three.
Okay.
Year three. Year one and year two are work in progress. Right? We only buy problematic homes and we turn them around. Right? That's what we do. Right?
Oh, so that is the business model. It's not just that these three were problematic. It's actually that's what you were looking for. You were looking for homes that might be struggling.
The home is struggling in terms of its quality performance, which is CQC, or financial performance.
Okay. And so you buy them, and then you know it's going to be a kind of 3-year process.
That's correct.
And what does that process look like? I would imagine a lot of viewers here would be very interested. Lots of people say to me, Colin, I haven't got a very good culture in my business. And we talk about how we're going to change it. So I'm sure they'd love to hear from you how you change a culture.
Right. So, I mean, there's so many ways of doing it. And we have a very direct communication with every single one of our employees, right? Because we do have emails that we send payslips through emails rather than, you know, posting them and then handing over to someone else. So we do have access to directly communicate with them.
Yeah.
So in terms of new people, I meet them through Zoom every month.
Okay.
So I welcome them into the business and tell them a little bit about where our journey started, where it's going, and getting them to be a part of it.
Yes.
Right? One of which we also have a real ambition of turning this company into 50% profit sharing with our staff. And that is in 4 years and 9 months. Right?
Oh,
so the 5-year clock is ticking. Right? 5-year clock is ticking. So, and if they stayed with us, then they will be really part of this company.
Why do you want to go down that road?
If I shared 50% of what I'm making, then the staff will have all the reason for this company to be successful. So in many ways, if my cake is of a certain size, it will double in size as a minimum. Right? And therefore, I will be no worse off or no better off.
So what's the logic behind that?
The staff will be working a lot harder than what we would have expected. Our turnover will be minimum, right? Our staff will be very happy working. So it's a happy medium in all honesty. So the worst case for me is how much of the size of the cake is going to increase. It'll definitely increase by double. And I believe in that. If it is not, it'll be more. In terms of changing the culture of existing businesses that we buy, we are a real living wage employer, as I said to you.
Yep.
We pay more than what the previous employer has paid.
Yes.
And also, we know when they are in trouble with CQC and or financially. Both, if you're in trouble at CQC, you naturally your financial performance also.
Yeah, I was going to say they go hand in hand. Yes.
Okay. So both will happen. It's working with the manager first to change things around the way we want to run it. there is also a bit of element of visible leadership that I frequently visit my businesses.
Yes.
Right? So I would at least cover all my businesses within the 6 weeks.
All 30 odd homes you will go to see every 6 weeks?
Yes.
Right.
But that's not, I mean, it's more like a 1.5 hour visit maximum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But walking around the floor, saying hello to the staff, right? So everyone must know me. Right?
Yes.
Everyone must know me. Everyone should have the right to speak to me and tell me how they feel. Tell me how they feel. And if I can do something with that, I will always do it.
Right. Right. So a lot of visibility. Lots of but who's directly working with the home manager? Because I don't expect you have the time to do that. How does that happen?
So we have clear layers. So regional managers are responsible for the care home, managing of the care home.
Yes.
They are then supported by regional quality nurses and HR business partners. Those are the three things that they need support with. They are then led by directors, one of them being commercial director, who the regionals report to. Then we have a quality director who looks after the quality standards. And we have a people director who looks after the people standards. On top of that, then we have a finance director who looks after the...
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So they are the ones who are running it. I will have a monthly meeting with them, right, on financial performance and quality performance and people performance. We also dedicate one whole day to discuss our people.
Yes. Okay. Right? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So we look at identifying people for growth opportunities. Right? So, you know, a carer to senior carer to deputy manager, then deputy manager to home manager. That can be a nurse or a carer. So we look at that. We look at our managers and see whether they can become a regional manager, what development needs that they have in order to get there. So we are proud to say that we have one manager who started with us as a carer, is now a regional manager, our regional manager.
Yes.
We also have a 91-year-old carer.
A 91-year-old carer?
Yeah.
And actually on the payroll, not a volunteer?
No, on the payroll.
Gosh.
She won two lifetime awards already.
I should think she has. That's quite extraordinary. So how did you, as you were growing this business, I imagine you started, well, obviously you did, you told me you started with one care home, you've grown it gradually. How do you find the people to manage the business on your behalf in the way that you want it managed?
It's creating my vision and culture to everyone who works with us. So starting from the senior level, that senior level must share in my vision.
Yes.
Must share in my values, right? And then when they do, naturally, they will reflect that back into their lines as well, right? So we will keep repeating whatever the three things, family, honesty, and respect, is repeated many, many times over.
Okay, so it's a kind of a mantra.
So, and then also when I go around, I ask people, what are our values?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if they don't tell me, then I'll tell them what it is.
And do you think that they are commonly recognized amongst your staff?
Absolutely. 80% at least will know that.
Okay. Okay. And what do you do in those difficult times when you've got people at whatever grade, maybe quite senior, who don't adhere to the values?
So, I mean, you can only take the horse to the water. You can't make the horse drink it.
No.
Okay, right. So we will take everyone in the same way. I must say our turnover of managers is very, very low.
Okay.
Right? Very low. And if the turnover is there, it's because it's our wish as opposed to their wish. So no managers leave us and go to another job because they're getting more money.
Okay, right. So the people who are leaving because they haven't fitted in.
That's correct.
Got you. So that's really interesting, because one of the things that I'm always trying to explore, particularly with people like yourself who employ a lot of people, is to try and find out what insights you've had. I mean, how to create teams that work together closely in very difficult working environment, quite challenging caring for people. How have you managed to do that? What's the magic sauce, if you like?
Well, the proof is in the pudding. So we get 4.2 out of 5 in Indeed and Glassdoor. So this is what our staff are telling us, how good we are.
Right. This is right? Your staff surveys.
Staff surveys. It's an independent feedback place.
Okay. Right?
So they go and say good or bad about the company.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, they will do it to the other companies as well.
Yes.
But the 4.2 is a very high rate.
Yes.
And they also give me 92% approval rating.
Fantastic.
Right. So that's also not heard of.
No, I can't imagine very many. I mean, a lot of people watching would aspire to get in some percentage.
I would more worry about the 8% who doesn't rate me.
Yeah. But of course, there's got to be a few, I guess. But what's the secret then?
I mean, it's not a secret. It's what you believe in is what you must do. So the three things, family, honesty, and respect, is what I believe in.
Yes.
Right? So I behave in a way that's how it should be.
Yes. Yes. Right?
So if I'm walking around because I'm the CEO and I just say hello to staff and walk out, that's not what I do.
Mm.
I stand there and have a conversation with them.
Yes. Yes. Right?
You know, so they know there is mutual respect.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's you're talking with them. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. So I think the whole respect thing, though, and the family is these your employees will have relatives and others that need their own care or family circumstances and they need time off or something. How do you cope with that when you're already 3% slightly understaffed? If you've got people that, you know, have their own emergency needs?
Well, I mean, yeah, emergency needs, and we are always sympathetic to what their needs are. So our people director will look at what their needs are and then sort of make a decision on what we are going to do. We do have in extreme circumstances, we have grievance policies and all of that. Right, so that people, if they're not happy with the decision made, they can always ask Bernie.
You're right. Okay, so you're the final appeal.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. So you're doing this regular visiting. You've got an enormous group of buildings. So there's all sorts of obligations that the company has to maintain them and obviously look after the people inside. How do you manage your time?
That's always a challenging thing. Always a challenging thing, and it is because I live in London, and the businesses are all in the northwest and the north.
Oh, right? Okay.
So there is a greater amount of traveling time.
Yes,
but I use the traveling time to do my meetings and things like that through Zooms and Microsoft Teams. So I utilize my time very well.
So you're traveling on the train.
No, I'm driven.
Oh, I see. Yes,
I'm driven, so it helps. It helps with my timing.
Yes,
it helps with my timing, and then I will also do my emails. So I don't come under pressure, but I do stay in the hotel for about 4 nights every other week.
Okay.
So I have time to do my emails and things like that. So I'm always on top of my job.
Yes, but how many hours a week do you think you...
Good 60 hours.
Okay. And is that something you want to reduce?
Personally, no. I'm a workaholic.
Okay. But with that sort of volume of hours must come quite a bit of stress. I mean, the running these businesses in themselves must invoke that as well. But how do you manage stress?
So even in BP days, it is 60 hours a week.
Yes, I can imagine.
It's never been 40 hours a week. It's never been 40 hours a week. Even on a Saturday and Sunday, sometimes you sit on your dining table, maybe, and put your laptop on.
Yes.
Right? You know, so you have to calculate all those times as well. The times that you answer your emails on your phone, they're also time.
Yes, they're also it's time. Always.
Right? So all of that is included in that 60 hours.
Yes.
Right? But a true working hours would be more like 50.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, you're really focused on it rather than just responding to, yes, I'm with you, yes. But on the stress point, what do you do to manage stress?
I work very well under stress. So I like tight deadlines. I like, you know, so I respond better. Has always been my strength.
Okay, so the deadlines and are a fuel.
I create my own stress as well.
Deliberately?
No. So we go on holiday. I mean, my wife and myself, we've been married for 34 years. We go on 4 holidays in a year, but I'm allowed to work 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour at night.
Oh, you have permission. Okay.
So that's how we manage it.
Oh, okay. So you stay on top of things.
Yes.
But you do get a break.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, that in itself is golden advice, I think. Very useful. So we're coming to nearing the end of our time, Bernie. So what would be your recommendations to people aspiring to get started in this sector, for following in your footsteps?
Value your staff. They are the ones who's going to make it work for you or not. You can be so intelligent, so talented, but your people are the ones who's going to make it work for you.
Yes. I think that's a golden nugget. Yes, absolutely.
So value your staff to the best as you can. Right? Then they will deliver for you. Right? You can't turn the lights off in a business without being there. But if you can get your staff to turn it off, that's the great place to be.
That's where you need to be. You can't be everywhere at once.
That's right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Bernie, that's a powerful insight. And I think it chimes with everything we're trying to explore in this podcast series. So thank you. Thank you very much for your time. It's been really interesting talking to you and exploring the ins and outs of your sector. Thank you very much indeed, Bernie.
Thank you for having me, Colin.